October 1977. We're going to go to Eversole for a little birthday thing. I don't know what it might require, but I want to see if this thing is working. Play it down.
Eversole or more, but it was some of Daddy's people way back. Either our great or great great or something, Grandpa lost his cattle or they strayed away or something. And he searched for him, and he got so aggravated, so provoked, that he just didn't know what to do or say much. And when he did find him, he said, in hell, for sorry.
That was some of your family.
Oh, yeah.
Living down in Leslie County.
In Leslie County.
Who lived down there? Which of your family were from Leslie? Now, Emily, the other day, I was told, and I talked to Eversole about this. He's always lied to me and said they didn't intend to burn the barn, but a fellow in Alice County the other day told me about the time the Eversole boys, mainly Lester and George and Herman, intended to burn their daddy's barn for something. Now, why did they intend to do that? Now, I want the truth, Emily. I can't get the truth out of Lester. Lester, why did you all want to burn that damn barn?
Just because we want to see a big fire.
It's a pretty old log barn, and Lester was going to burn the barn. Now, I've heard that Lucy Garrett didn't want Lester to play them bad Eversole boys. Have you ever heard that, Dave? You heard that Lucy didn't want Lester to play them bad Eversole boys, but hell, I didn't know they were going around burning barns.
Afraid we'd whoop the devil out of him. That's why she didn't want to play with Eversole boys.
Emily, what do you know about where your family came from? Tell me what you know. Where'd the Eversoles come from?
In Germany.
How long ago did they come from Germany?
Yeah, yeah.
We had a history of it when we moved to Fordham, Indiana. It was something I lost.
You don't remember where? How long had they been in the States? What about the other side? The McCollum?
I don't know anything.
The Brewers?
I don't know very little.
Yeah.
Where were you born, Bruno? What year?
1906.
Wait a minute. Tell me that again. You did what?
I've got a tintype picture of James R. Moore and his wife, and I bought that old gun from his son. And the gun was made for James R. Moore's grandfather, Elias Moore, and Elias Moore had a son named James Moore. And come on down, there's two or three James R. Moore. And I bought it from Uncle Gilmore.
Well, what is that gun? Tell me about it again.
It's a Kentucky long rifle.
Where was it made?
It was made on Drowning Creek in Madison County.
Who made it?
A man by the name of P.T. Wilkes.
When?
About 1791.
How do you know?
Well, that's the way Uncle Gilmore had just been told to me. Oh, I ain't got no record. But on the stock, they had put a new trailer made for stock on it in 1875. And it's on there, 1875, on that. When that trailer made for stock was put on there. That's over 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that must have been converted from a flintlock.
It was a flintlock and converted back in 1875 to a Captain Ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen the time, but I thought they should have done it.
They're too drunk for talking, and one of them said, my wife's an angel. The other says, you're a darn lucky. Mine's still living.
Tell us the story of that time you were working up in Hamilton at the Ford plant, working on those tires.
Did you work as inspector for Ford at one time?
Yeah.
What would you do up there?
Well, I worked in the wheel department.
What'd you do?
Inspecting wheels, the wheels. What?
What
else
did an inspector do?
Well, I took a hammer and I hit each spoke to see if it was any good in 1929.
Yeah.
And the spokes had to be good and solid in there, or you rejected it. Well, after a while, the whole wheel line foremans and everything, the head of the plant come down and says, what's the matter? I said, nothing. I said, what's all that stack of wheels? I said, they're rejects. I said, I spoke at them, and I'd hit them too hard. You know, I was knocking the spokes out. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you're too stout for me. You're hitting them too hard. You're knocking the wheels. Knocking all the spokes out of them. I said, I thought you wanted me to find out if it's in there good and solid. And then Larry said, well, it's supposed to, but kind of lighten up on it a little, because you do better. I was rejecting them all. I was knocking the spokes out just as fast as they come down the line. On 19 and 29 model Ford, you know, with the wire wheel.
Wire wheel.
What did they do with you then, sir? Made you janitor?
No, they moved me up to where we were taking wheels off the conveyor. No, they did. They moved me
everywhere.
And you know what? When I first went there and went to work, the first night, a man come around and said, how's Charlie and I? He looked right at me. I looked up at him. I said, they're all right. He said, I was raised with your mother. He says, I'm, John Blake, Charlie's
mm-hmm.
brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I never seen him before. I said, how'd you know? He says, I knew you was McCollum. I knew you had to be Charlie Evers' oldest boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a pretty good job.
Never was any better meal, baby.
This is delicious.
Anybody need anything else?
No.
Okay,
I'm
going downstairs and
eat by now. Where'd that
turn bad ever so
sometimes? They got some of them Garrett boys and
made
them
up. Those in-laws,
they got a bad start. They ran around so thick with a bunch of bad Garretts up there.
How come why there's ever so damn lucky to marry ever so bad? Tell me the truth.
I know she was real lucky though, wasn't she?
Now, what was it Harv Rice said about the Garretts?
Holt Rice said they ever told the smartest people to ever come out of the county.
Oh.
Oh, my, he said
ever so.
Ever so.
Jack. That's your lie again. He's
not telling the truth again. He said ever so. He's
right with me. That's right,
Lester.
Have to stick together here.
Boy,
ain't good,
eh?
Mm-hmm.
You never could trust these damn in-laws, could you, Mike?
No.
Not another one of them.
Not the boy. They don't know the way for the ways, and they're gonna get out of town.
The ham's good.
That's
good.
Good. And ever so, you ever eat a meal that wasn't good?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it.
I tell you what's the truth, Morris. I've never seen anything put on the table that I wouldn't eat and didn't like.
Did you ever see a turkey big enough?
No, they don't grow big enough.
That's ever so. Charlie ever so you say, hey, we only had one this year, weighs 50 pounds. We'll get one big enough next year.
Is that right, Emily? You wouldn't tell anything for the truth, would you?
Wouldn't tell anything but the truth. Mm-hmm. I understand that ever so plan just really put the food away. That's true, man. I mean, nobody else is denying that. They were known as one of the better fed families in the area.
I saw that. And what about George Jack?
Well, I think we got a big enough turkey every now and then. I don't think Charlie ever did.
Well, that sounds good.
I do too, I think. Everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll tell you about the time you shot it. Good dog.
More of that thing, the subject that Norma called me last night and said that Fannie Mae was bed fast now.
We were over here, yeah.
Oh, you went here
yesterday? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, normally I have to call number 9 and tell.
Well,
she was down yesterday. She was up all day.
It's conscious that you know people.
Oh, yeah. Honey lays on the bed with her.
Mm-hmm.
Tom was up
the
yesterday.
The dog.
Oh, yeah. My dog. She likes him.
She gets up and off on the bed.
What
is
it off?
More? You ain't eat.
Lester, I'm just said, Garrett. I'm gonna eat.
He said he'd let you go around again for another extra dollar and a half.
That's probably nice. What did Emil used to cost when you used to all serve food at your restaurant, sir?
Boy, I sold I made some navy bean soup the other day, and George said it is as good as ever eat. And it was good if I didn't make it, wasn't it?
Like
and I used to sell a big bowl full of that bean soup for $9 with crackers.
With crackers?
Yeah, crackers to go with, and that one for
$8.
Vegetable soup, a big bowl for
first the rural people had a pure eating habit, didn't they?
Huh?
Peculiar, they had pure eating habits by them there. Brown sugar and crackers.
I've seen men come into my store and say, give me a nickel worth of brown sugar and crackers or $9 worth of brown sugar and crackers. You'd give them a little scoop of brown sugar, about that teacup full, and enough crackers to eat it, and they'd make little sandwiches out of it and eat it, and have a best meal, and then go to the public well and drink about a half a gallon of water on that, and they're full.
Cans of oysters?
Another man would come in and say, open up, two of them come in together, and open up a can of salmon that's out of $9 a piece. Sold them two cans before.
I can see that.
Yep. Well, they'd make a meal, and cheese and crackers, they'd make a meal on that.
And a hog meat sandwich and a bottle of red pop.
Yeah.
Who was the fellow one day, Marty, that wanted to read from Buffalo and wanted to replay that piece of music on the radio?
Let's see. No. Well, you're supposed to sing it.
You
still know this piece every night.
I was telling the people last night about the Holy Roller music and reading blessing you used to have out in front of yours in that place. Maybe it's some good signs.
Well, about the one they had up the courthouse that time, see your old Bill Shepherd down there. You ever heard about that?
I wasn't there. I've heard about it.
One night we went over at the courthouse.
No,
that was plum pork.
Okay.
David, you
go on
the stand. David,
you go on
the stand. I'm doing fine. You go on each step. We'll wait on the
step.
David had a good garden raised in beans.
No.
No,
how many hog rifles did you get together, Kurt?
Goodness, Lord, I don't have any. I got a lot of them. I moved away in F-1 too. And you called me Boone once. After Doc gets and bought that building, and you seen the gun hanging there, and you asked Doc about it, and Doc said, I guess that's the airport that you carry. You called me, asked me to get it, and I told him you didn't get to give it to you. You remember that?
I think I got it. I remember it, but I don't think I got it. You had some good ones, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you where that gun comes from. Edward Campbell gave it to me, and it was his daddy's gun, and it come down through your daddy's family. And Edward Campbell, my first cousin, gave me that gun.
Give me a little Ed.
Little Ed, give me that gun. And I thought you got it.
I sure don't remember getting it, sir.
You called me from Boomer.
No,
I remember that. And I said, yeah, get it. You sure can, with my gun. And
Emily, was the Eversole house that you all lived in standing when you all moved there, or did you all build it?
Daddy built it.
What year, no when?
And the year that I was born. I was born a day or two after moving that house, wasn't it?
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
I remember I was 2 years old,
yeah.
And I remember him building 2 years old.
Uncle Raleigh Cone built it. Raleigh Cone built it for Daddy, and he bought the ground from Woodmar.
He did buy it from Woodmar.
Bought from Woodmar, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Now wait.
Huh?
Woodmar's a Charlie Cone building.
Bought from Woodmar's. And Dory Mars. I've got the deeds he brought me.
That's
Mm-hmm. It still is. Dave, what's the matter?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
I can read all of mine.
Honey, you don't wait that for you. Hey, who is that mother? Honey, it's your. Not there. I'll get home with it.
No, I never did overeat too much, Lester. All this is modest eating.
Wait, I'm sorry, honey. Want me to hit you a little?
Somebody was asking me, Art Schultz was asking me a day or two ago, where he ate in Boonville, and where were the places he ate in Boonville way back?
Who?
A doctor from here used to go up to Boonville and visit this Annabelle Reeves or whatever her name was, a school teacher there, did you know her? Well, anyhow, he couldn't remember where he ate.
Well, it was the Mowers Hotel and Wilder's Hotel and Eversole Hotel.
Where's Eversole
Hotel? Bill Eversole, and Bill Eversole, yeah. Oh, they really fed him country.
Yeah, that was later. That was after my time.
Well, how long ago was it? You come back.
Oh, this is about when I was a little bitty boy.
Well, maybe it was,
Well, did you work for Elmer Steele? Did he serve food?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Elmer Steele, yeah.
What did he serve down there?
Well, the cheese and crackers and bologna and salmon and ice cream.
Well, they didn't serve cooked meals, did they?
No.
That's your aspect, because they make a sandwich. Bread and sandwich, got a salami.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just takes bologna and crackers, sometimes. Most of the time it just crackers.
Why, they didn't have any weight?
Well, they liked it that way.
Crackers, so funny.
A good fresh cracker with bologna and cheese is all
they need. There's nothing better than a good cracker.
No.
These are usually on court days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't drink as much pop then as they do nowadays.
No, I don't get it. They didn't have money to buy it with then.
No, that was in a lot of it's depression. The old public well got used, a lot of use then.
And you know it could have been the Combs, no, the Combs Hotel was a 4-year-old town, though. I don't know.
Lake Combs, that house is still standing.
Yeah. And who was come out of
it? Arthur Schultz, he's a doctor over in Fort Thomas.
And he come from Boone.
Isabel Reeves was that girl's name in the talk school, and she stayed up there at Campbell's place. And now where was Julie Steps' blacksmith shop? Was it above or below that old Buck Creek building?
Above.
Just above.
Above and below. It had two different steps.
Yeah.
Anybody want anything on
the okay. Page? No, they look good.
Sure?
Plenty, honey.
Seems very good.
Like some coffee or something?
No, not many. You want anything else, Emily?
Oh,
no. All right. He had, Uncle Joe had a blacksmith shop there. That's above the Butcher's Bridge. And then at another time, later on, he had it down below. Just before he died, he moved them down there below. And Uncle Al Wilson, as Ed Wilson, that he had a blacksmith shop there. Same place.
Now, old man Joe was down Marshall, wasn't he?
Joe Eastell?
Yeah.
Joe Eastell for something, and they tried at Wendell Waldo McCollum rode on the walk between the bridge and the schoolhouse, and they had it a $5 fine if anybody rode on that sidewalk, and they got they tried Waldo and Uncle Joe got a bunch of they summoned the jury and Jim Harvey or something was some of the jury, the sheriff, David Sheriff, and tried Waldo, and they turned Waldo loose. Waldo swore he got on the walk and all. And Uncle Joe swore back at that, said, I don't see how you can turn him loose. Said he swore he got on the bridge, rode on the walk, and they wanted to turn Waldo loose. They all knew him, you know. So we didn't believe a word he swore. They like to laugh out down the way. There ain't no Joe Madden. You remember that? You turned Waldo loose.
Well, you were telling Tom.
Police judge.
You were police judge.
Yeah, I was a commission from AB.
Jim Harvey was your.
He was one of the.
Town
marshals. Town marshals one time.
Who is mother?
Mother?
Arthur, when is your birthday and how old were you?
You'd be
67.
Hey, you'll be 67 on the 21st of October 1977. But you're celebrating a week early, right?
Happy birthday.
Oh, I don't know. Something you want to play?
Okay, I'll play Frog.